The eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I am an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. You're listening to episode number 80, and I'm recording this on April 28th, 2007. Well, yesterday on CNN.com, I noticed a story about iPods and students, and so I clicked on that story and read about how some students are using iPods to cheat on tests in the classroom. And then this morning when I woke up and read my my local edition of the newspaper, the Kansas City Star, on the second page there's a huge story and picture and heading, High-Tech Cheating, Digital Media Players Being Used to Cheat in Exams. And it's being distributed by the Associated Press, and I'm sure it made a lot of newspapers. And I talked to my dad in Nebraska yesterday, and he actually heard a clip of it as he was driving home from school on the radio, so I'm sure that it's made the rounds by now. And basically, this story talks about a school in Idaho that has decided to ban MP3 players because they've discovered that students are using them to cheat on tests, distributing formulas. Some people have actually used the voice recorder to talk and then relay information and then listen to it during the test. And as they go throughout the article, it talks about how this is not only happening at this school in Idaho, but it's also taking place in California, Seattle. They give a couple examples internationally of Canada and Australia, where schools have decided to ban all MP3 players because of students using them to cheat on tests. And so, obviously, my first reaction is students should not be cheating on tests. I'm a teacher. I believe that obviously is a huge problem in the classroom. But at the same token, I think that a bigger picture here is students are using these devices, which are now being considered evil in many school districts. They're using them to convey information and content. Now, granted, they're doing this in an illegal format, but why can't more people understand that MP3 players have a huge potential to be used in the classroom as a way for teachers to deliver content to students? Those of you that listen to this podcast on a regular basis know that I incorporate something called StudyCast. Since 2005, I've recorded basically an audio review for my students for upcoming tests, and then I upload that MP3 file to our classroom site. I also put a link on a blog so that it can actually be picked up by iTunes, so some of my students download it through iTunes to their iPods and MP3 players. And I've done this for 2 full years now, and my students have really found it to be a successful way of helping them study for the test. I've had many comments from parents and other teachers. Actually, some other teachers in the district have used the same format, and there's several other teachers around the country I know that use this format. And so we try and use it in a proactive way and deliver content to our students using the podcast. And like I said, it's been extremely successful. We have several cases of examples of teachers in our district that are using MP3 players and iPods very successfully in the classroom. Next door, Lance Huebner is a special education teacher, and one of the things that our paras tend to do a lot of is read tests to students that have that as part of their IEP, that it's required for them to listen to the test. Well, a lot of the time for our paras is spent reading the same test over and over again to students throughout the day. And so we actually record it once as an MP3 file using Audacity, and then we put it on some MP3 players, and the students can then listen to that para reading the test through an MP3 player, and it frees up the para to actually work with other students. And they can review, go back and listen to the same question again if they would like to. So that's another successful way that we've used MP3 players in the classroom. So I just really think this is a knee-jerk reaction that, hey, iPods are bad. I would imagine probably 95% of the population, when they read this, will agree that iPods should be banned in the building. There should be no iPods in school. Our school district actually has a fairly liberal MP3 policy, and I haven't actually done a podcast about this, but at some point in the future I probably will. Our building allows MP3 players in the classroom based on the individual teacher's preference. And so basically if a teacher allows MP3 players in the classroom, they're allowed. And we found it to be a really successful thing in our school. We have students that will listen to their MP3 players sometimes when they're working on individual assignments. We found that it cuts down on a lot of discipline problems. Our students sometimes, for example, at the end of a math lecture, they might have some time to work on some math homework. Our students will take out their MP3 players or their iPods, listen to music while they're working, and actually get a lot more work done than if they're sitting in a silent classroom and trying to get that same work done. And I know that sounds crazy, but when you look at how people actually work in an office environment or work at home, most adults don't do their work in an absolutely quiet, sterile environment. There's a radio on, there's a TV on, and so it's really not that crazy of a concept. And it also has been sort of a deterrent for students when we say, hey, you know, you guys haven't been turning your work in, you know, we're not going to allow you to use your MP3 players when we do have individual study time. And that's been a great carrot to kind of encourage the students that have been doing their work that they can actually continue to use their MP3 player. So our building, you walk around, you actually see students listening to MP3 players in classrooms when it's appropriate and the teacher says that they can listen to it. I just think there's too many ways that MP3 players can be used in an educational setting. For example, today, I listened to somebody give an entire lecture, Kevin Honeycutt, about building 21st century achievers. It was a great hour-long lecture. It was delivered at a conference in Kansas about 3 or 4 days ago. Listened to the entire presentation. I then listened to a half an hour discussion on Team of Rivals, a book about Abraham Lincoln by Doris Kearns Goodwin, an actual interview with the author of the book, and then also listened to a presentation that was given in Florida about 2 months ago on teachers and copyright law. And so today, I had my own professional development session, listened to those three things while I was mowing my lawn. Just listened to my iPod while I was mowing my lawn, and I got some great professional development just listening to an MP3 player. So, you know, I guess anybody can look at this story with a different perspective, but I just hope that people don't begin to really look at MP3 players or iPods as things that should be banned from school. Last year, I actually got a phone call from somebody in Tennessee that was doing a story in a local school district that banned iPods, and they did a short little interview clip that they included on the local news. Michigan, yeah, in the last several weeks, there was a proposed plan. I guess it was completely misunderstood, but somebody actually brought up, or it was interpreted as, that students should be given MP3 players by the state of Michigan and be used in schools. And people went nuts. There were all kinds of editorials talking about how crazy it was. And, you know, actually, I thought it was a pretty good idea. You know, if you look at, for example, the price of an iPod Shuffle, roughly about $75, you can't record with that, but you can listen to content with that. That would be a great tool that you could use in the classroom. In fact, our special ed department at South Valley Junior High, where I teach, actually purchased about 5 or 6 different shuffles for next year so they can use them in the classroom. So just kind of an interesting article. I'd be curious to know what anybody else thinks about this. I'll actually include a link to the story. And if you'd like to comment, you can just leave a comment on the blog. Or if you'd like to email me, you can email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. But I think that eventually this will have to be part of the discussion on how we use some of these emerging technologies in school. Recording an MP3 file requires no cost other than having the computer and having the free program Audacity, which I'm using right now to record this podcast. And you can put content up. You can share content. It's an incredible tool, and I just hope that the people don't start looking at iPods as some evil thing that we should not have in any school setting. So, thanks for listening tonight, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast, at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.